I want to talk to you today about causes to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Back during the dark days of 1929, a group of ministers, all from the Northeast, all graduates of Boston School of Theology, gathered to discuss how they should conduct their Thanksgiving services. Things were about as bad as they could get. There was no sign of relief. The bread lines were depressingly long. The stock market had plummeted, and the term Great Depression seemed an apt description for the mood of the country. The ministers thought they should only lightly touch on the subject of Thanksgiving in deference to the human misery all about them. After all, what was there to be thankful for? But it was one of the pastors of a large congregation in the city that rallied the group. This was not the time, he suggested, to give mere passing mention to Thanksgiving, just the opposite. This was the time for the nation to get matters in perspective and thank God for blessings already present, but perhaps suppressed due to intense hardship. I think they struck upon something there. The most intense moments of thankfulness are not found in times of plenty, but rather when difficulties abound. Think of the pilgrims that first Thanksgiving, half their number dead, men without a country, but still they gathered to give thanks to God. Their gratitude was not for something, but rather it was in something. And it was that sense of gratitude that led Abraham Lincoln to formally establish the first Thanksgiving Day in the midst of a national civil war. While casualties mounted and the very nation struggled for survival, our president made a proclamation setting aside a time of Thanksgiving that would be observed from then on. I want to go back to a comment that I made. Our gratitude should be in something. I'm thankful that we are in Christ. In Him we live and move and have our being. Thanksgiving should translate into thanks living. We should live out our grateful hearts. I'm thankful for the church because in the church we find causes to be thankful. And that's really what I want to focus upon today, causes to be thankful for in the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You know, it's a staggering thought to realize that the church of the Thessalonians was only about 1 month old when Paul wrote this epistle to them. They were just a brand new church, most of them babes in Christ, and yet this church has been called the model church. Look at verses 6 and 7 there of that first chapter. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in examples to all that believe. They were examples to others. One thing that is emphasized in these epistles is Paul's expression of thanksgiving for this young church. When Paul thought of them, when he was reminded of them, he was thankful. We all need the encouragement of thanksgiving. We all need to be thanked. But new believers and new churches need that especially. They need that encouragement even more, and even more so in discouraging times. Thanksgiving is one of the most important attributes for a Christian to have. Paul wrote to this same church, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What was Paul thankful for in this young church? We're going to look at that today, and we'll see that the things that Paul was thankful for in this model church should be something that we are thankful for in our own as well. Number one, thankful for their activities in the work of God. Their activities in the work of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I am thankful for people who are active working for God. They have an active faith. Their faith causes them to work for the Lord. Notice that it's a work of faith. Thank God for people who have a working faith. Do you know that true faith leads to work? Galatians 5, 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." James 2, 18 says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You really can't separate the two. Once you become a Christian, faith and works go together. Person says they have faith, prove it by your works, is what James is saying here. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The reason the Lord saved us was so that we could do good works and be zealous toward them. And so we need to have faith that works, a working faith. And really, that is the only kind of faith that will work. Not gimmicks, not innovative techniques, not fancy schemes. It's faith working by love. That's what Paul says. That's what this church had. That's what will work. Faith working by love. And if you don't have the kind of faith in Christ that motivates you to work for Him, to work for the Lord, then you don't have the right kind of faith. Because the right kind of faith will lead to doing good works, working for the Lord. And then notice that it is a labor of love. It's not a love that works out of obligation. It's something greater than that. Thank God, it's not a love that just feels obligated to do something. You know, if you really love something, you will bestow labor toward it. You will work toward it. You will work for it. Love is the fuel of the labor. Galatians 5, 6 says, "Faith worketh, which worketh by love." Love is the fuel that causes faith to work. It gives faith the energy and the power to work, to do something. You know, labor becomes drudgery and a burden when love is absent. You can labor for something to work for it. If you have love, it's easy to do that work. It's easy to do that job. But if you don't, if your heart's not in it, if you just don't love it, oh, then I have to do that. It becomes a drudge. It becomes a chore and even a burden. Love. That's what we're to have. Love for people. Love for the lost. Love for each other. Do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Love to come together and greet people. Love for the house of God. Well, you demonstrated your love for the house of God today by coming to his house. Probably here today because you love the Lord. Can't think of any other reason to come here today. But we're here, we're gathered here today because we love him. Hopefully you're not here out of obligation. I don't think you are. You would have had a good excuse to stay home today. You're here because you love the Lord. It's a labor of love. And then notice patience of hope. If you have hope, you will be patient in waiting for the results of your labor, the fruit of your labor. And so number one was to thankful for the activities in the work of God. Number two, thankful for their acceptance of the Word of God. The acceptance of the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, one chapter over, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. They accepted the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And I thank God for every Bible believer, people that go to the Bible to look to the Bible for the answers to problems and the solutions of life, people that go to the Bible to look for evidence of that which is right and wrong. I thank God today for people who believe the Bible and stand upon the Bible. You know, it's getting harder and harder to find people who actually believe the Bible and apply it to their lives and live it out. So I thank God for you. If you believe the Bible and you make this the standard, your rule for faith and practice. Thankful because I know the Bible is really the only answer to real and lasting change. It really is. The world has temporary solutions to things, but the Bible has the answer to real and lasting change. It has the solutions. It is effectual. That means it's effective. It works. It works. If you haven't tried it, try it out. It'll work for you. In 1937, missionaries were forced out of Wallamo, Ethiopia, leaving the field with only 18 people who had been recently converted and baptized. And they were only left with a few portions of Scripture in their own language. That's it. These new believers were persecuted, and some of those were even martyred. 5 years later, though, the missionaries returned to find that those 18 Christians had multiplied to over 10,000. I'll tell you, the Word of God works. It's got a power to it. And what we need to do sometimes is just stand back and stand on the Word of God and let it work. It's effective. It's effectual. It's the only thing some people have, but really it's the only thing they need. God's Word is powerful. And so they were thankful for their acceptance of the Word of God. And number three, thankful for their advancement in the ways of God. I was excited we sang some song about God's ways this morning. I'm thankful for the advancement in the ways of God. For 2 Thessalonians, next book over now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You know, as a pastor, I'm always concerned with spiritual progress, spiritual growth. I get excited when I see people making progress in their Christian life and see them growing. But notice here, the growth is exceedingly, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. This was growth that exceeded all expectation. Growth is exciting. Matthew, our baby, is 6 months now, and it's exciting to see him grow and get up on his hands and knees and start rocking, knowing he's going to be crawling and getting into things pretty soon. It's exciting to see growth. We get concerned when there's no growth. I mean, something's wrong when there is no growth. Growth is exciting. Growth is the result also of a proper diet. Do you know that? You eat the wrong things, you could stunt your growth. You could do damage to your growth hormones. Growth is a result of eating a proper diet. You know, some Christians, they survive on junk and they wonder why they don't grow. Now we need the meat of God's word. And we need to diet on church attendance and Bible study and things like that. Spiritual music. And then we begin to grow in our faith and in our relationship with the Lord. And then, I hate this last part, growth is a result of exercise. You know, if you just had a baby and laid him there and in a crib, never let him out, her out to exercise, they wouldn't grow properly. Christians need to exercise their faith as well. We need to exercise our faith through works. We need to exercise our faith through witnessing. Spiritual exercise. Practice godliness. Bodily exercise profits little, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And then notice the word aboundeth. Faith grows exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. An abounding love is a love that is active and constant. This was Paul's answer. This was in answer to Paul's earlier admonition in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. In other words, the love of God is to abound. Even more and more, it's to be active, it's to be a constant kind of love. You know, not falling in and out of love, but a constant love one to another. And Paul says, I really don't even need to teach you about this because we are taught by God's Spirit. God's Spirit will help us love each other as we are supposed to do. And this is to increase more and more. It seems to me like we never get to the point where we can't love each other more than we do. But it's supposed to be growing. It's supposed to be abounding. So we see in all these things that Paul is thankful for the church at Thessalonica. But his reasons for being thankful is not really based on the world's measure of success. He doesn't mention anything about the numbers. He doesn't mention anything about the material assets. Our responsibility is to be faithful. Faithful how? Faithful in serving, faithful in praying, faithful in giving, faithful in witnessing. And it's up to God then to provide the results. The only thing he asks of us is that we are faithful. So when it comes right down to it today, I'm just going to put this message in a nutshell. We see that Paul is thankful for two things, and these are the two things that I would challenge you to work on. Number one, a growing faith, which will enable them to continue faithfully. A growing faith that will allow them to continue faithfully. And two, an abounding love for one another. And those two things would allow the power of God to work in their midst. Okay, that's not too difficult. A growing faith and abounding love. It's what God wants evidence in our lives of. And then finally, the word endure. They did not quit in the face of tribulation and persecution. Praise God for people who will not quit. No matter what, they will continue to serve the Lord. They will continue to work for Him, and they will continue to let their love abound more and more. So are you the kind of Christian that has an active faith, a working faith, and the kind of Christian that's letting your love abound more and more? Those are the main things that we need to work on because those are the things that Paul was thankful for in the church at Thessalonica. And as I look at it, those are the things really that I am thankful for. I'm thankful for your faith, your working faith, and I'm thankful for your abounding love. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I wonder if you would right now just say, Lord, I want my faith to increase and I want my love to abound. And if you're saying that to the Lord, could you just raise your hand up to him, up and then down? Amen. Amen. Lord, today you see the hands and you know our desire to have an active working faith, that our faith would increase. Lord, help it to increase as we work out our faith, work out our salvation. Help us, Lord, to be eating of the right things and help us to be active, exercising our faith, stretching our faith that it might grow. And Lord, place it in our heart, this abounding love, one for another. Lord, may we have a desire to not only love one another, but to be compassionate. And we see a need in somebody's life. Lord, that our heart of compassion would reach out toward them and be active and giving and supporting of them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.